Good morning.
Great to see everybody here this morning. We always seem to have some visitors, and you're always very welcome. So we're excited about today. We're going to start a series for the next few weeks about the Holy Spirit. But before I do that, I've got a little picture of something up here. This is the kind of thing that these days meets you at the checkout, doesn't it? I think this is a bit old school, isn't it, this one? I recognize all those bars, don't I? Yes, so you know what the purpose of them being at the end of the supermarket is? What's the purpose of them being there? Yeah, to take advantage of your weakness, isn't it? So who has a weakness for something at the checkout? You just got to, just about to get everything else, and what are you attracted to?
Pat. Chocolate.
Yeah, chocolate. Okay, now I want to know the brand.
Twix.
Twix. Do you know, I was thinking that too, actually. Anybody else over here?
Snickers.
Mine isn't up there, actually. All right, one more time, Pat. Go on.
Marathon.
Okay. Fantastic. And the point of them being there is to make you feel hungry, even when you're not hungry. But what I want to talk about today really is, who is the Holy Spirit? And my goal, my hope, my prayer, is that there'll be something in what I say that will make you more hungry for the Holy Spirit. It says in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 44:3-4, I will pour out water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I'll put this one down. And floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. So the Holy Spirit is given. One of the conditions of receiving more of the Holy Spirit is that we are thirsty, that we want more of him. As a guy called Smith Wigglesworth once said, he said, the Holy Spirit comes where he is wanted. And so if we don't have that thirst for him this morning, it's something that we should pray for. And it's for our offspring as well, for our children. When we're talking about the Holy Spirit, my first thought, I said to Bob this morning, I said, Bob, I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit. What do I know about the Holy Spirit? I think as I go through a little of the history in the Bible of the Holy Spirit, I hope it'll become clear that actually we know only a fragment of the Holy Spirit in our own experience. I've been a Christian for 40 years now, I became a Christian age 17. I had an experience of the Holy Spirit of my salvation, and soon after that, when I prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I had a further experience, and I've had ongoing experiences as I get to know him better, get to know God better, but I still feel, you know, I need much, much more. So as you're sitting there this morning, think, am I hungry? Am I thirsty enough? Pat's sitting here. We had a coffee the other day. And at the end of it, I said to him, hope you don't mind me saying this, Pat, what would you like me to pray for and for you for? And he said, hunger. I would like to be more hungry to know God. And that's a great prayer for all of us, isn't it? So shall we just pray now? Let's stand, shall we? Just give you a chance to exercise your legs as well. Father, we are just humbled this morning in your presence. We thank you, Lord, we are talking about this extraordinary third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for what we know of him, but we admit that there is huge amounts that we do not know. We thank you for your word. Would you inspire us? Would you guide us as we go through your word today and over these coming weeks, Lord, to teach us more of the Holy Spirit, not just in theory, but in our own experience. Would you write your law in our hearts this morning? Would you give us soft hearts, not just to hear, but to do your word? Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, open our eyes. Amen. Do sit down. Right at the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to finish with the last chapter of the Bible, and we're going to start with the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I've explained before that if you've got a kind of live online Bible, you click on God, then the Greek word, the Hebrew word that will come up is Elohim. And that word is a plural word. Strangely, it means gods. So when you got them describing false gods or other gods, it would be Elohim. But here you've got the word in the plural, gods, but you've got the verb created in the singular. So right at the beginning, the first verse of the Bible, this thing of the Trinity, whatever this is, this Godhead, this three in one, is revealed in a small way. And if you were a Hebrew or a Jew, you would have understood that just by reading it. But I find that extraordinary. St. Patrick, it's all about you today, Pat, isn't it? St. Patrick, explained the Trinity through this thing, the Irish shamrock or a clover. It's three leaves that come out of one plant. And that's a wonderful picture of our three-in-one God. I was thinking about it last week, and I thought that maybe even a better description of it was toothpaste. Dare I say it? Triple action protects, whitens, freshens, because the Godhead is so much more than, it's not the same, the three being the same, but each part of the Godhead has a different function as well. But the very fact that I mention toothpaste, this is such a small, weak picture of who God really is. And I say it kind of humbly, really. The Trinity is understood as the story unfolds. There's no verse in the Bible that says the Trinity. There's no great passage that explains the Trinity. It's just something that unfolds as God reveals himself over time. So often through the Bible, we are taught through story, aren't we? And this morning, I want to tell the story of the Godhead and the story of the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is understood as is unfolded as we see the two great missions of God. So the word mission means sending. The two things that were sent out of the Godhead. To start with, in the Old Testament, mainly, it's all about God. You would think of God as being one person rather than three people. But then you start to get these prophecies, and then finally you get to the second person in the Trinity, in the Godhead, being revealed. Jesus Christ. That was the first of the great missions, the sending of Jesus. And soon after him, the Holy Spirit is sent. And it's like there's a kind of, you know, it's kind of bookmarked there in the Bible very clearly. This moment when Jesus is born, the incarnation, and then 33 years after that, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Gospels reveal the coming of the Son. They describe how Jesus came in great and beautiful detail. The Acts of the Apostles describe how the Holy Spirit came, that third person of the Godhead, and what he did when he came. But the Old Testament, although it's seen as one person, does give us some clues. The coming of the Son is predicted, and the coming of the Spirit is predicted. And I want to very quickly just outline some of the work of the Holy Spirit as it's revealed in the Old Testament. And as I do this, think, how does this apply to me? What is there in this, in my life? How could this benefit me in any way, this work of the Spirit? First of all, he is the co-creator. We know that Jesus was also involved in the creation of the universe. And we know the Spirit was too. Psalm 144 verse 30 says, when you send forth your Spirit, they are created. He is a creative person, part of the Godhead. And then in Genesis 1:2, it says, and the earth was a waste and emptiness, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. What an amazing picture that you've got this chaos, you've got emptiness, you've got waste, and you've got the Holy Spirit. How has that been true in our own lives? How has it been true in my life? As a 17-year-old, my life was full of emptiness, and there was an awful lot of waste in my life. There was no purpose in it at all. And then I met the Lord, and it made all the difference. But the Spirit of God was waiting. He was moving. He was bringing me to that point of salvation. And then in Genesis 1:26, it focuses in on men and women. Genesis 1:26, let us, isn't that interesting? Not I will make man, but let us, you get again this reflection of the Godhead there. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And then it says, and when the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Holy Spirit breathing life into humanity. How amazing. There were living beings that the Holy Spirit had created as part of the Godhead. There were animals, there were birds, there were insects. But we were the only ones who had that spiritual element that we could talk to God and have fellowship with him. It was the Holy Spirit. It's reflected in the Gospels, isn't it? Do you remember after the resurrection, he comes to them and he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he equipped individual people for their calling. First of all, there's this guy called Bezalel. And Bezalel, in Exodus 31 and verse 3, was the guy who was given the job of constructing the tabernacle, this beautiful tent in the wilderness, that God had instructions exactly how it would be built. But it says of Bezalel, I filled him with the Spirit of God. What for? The Holy Spirit fills us always for a purpose. What has God got in your life? I filled him with the Spirit of God with ability, intelligence, knowledge, craftsmanship. How about you in your job? My wife, Jo, who's up looking after the kids this morning, I often think about this verse to do with her. Her job requires ability, a certain ability. It requires intelligence, knowledge and craftsmanship. All our jobs do in different ways. And the Holy Spirit wants to equip us for the thing that he has called us to. We can never say, I can't do this, because God has called you to do something. He will give you the ability. He'll give you the wisdom, the knowledge, what you need to do the job. Samson was another example. It says, the Spirit of the Lord. One version says, rushed upon him very dramatically. But here it says, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands. Imagine that. He was given supernatural power, extraordinary strength to deliver Israel from the Philistines. And it was the Holy Spirit. King David was more than a king. He was a psalmist. He was a prophet. It says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue. 2 Samuel 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. That's what a prophet does. That's what happens when somebody prophesies. It's the Lord saying something through them. His word is on my tongue. And David penned a lot of the Bible. All this time in the Old Testament is growing. Moses is writing the first five books. Samuel maybe is writing the next lot. And then the prophets get hold of it. David gets hold of it. He gets hold of his pen. But who is behind all this? Tell me. The Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's the story of the Bible. It was men and women. It was men that were inspired by God, inspired by the Spirit. Inspired by the prophets, the prophets predict the coming of the Son of God. This mission, this sending, this coming. Isaiah 9:6, for to us a child is born. We say it at Christmas, don't we? To us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So the Spirit predicts the coming of the Son. The prophets predict the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, it says, it talks about the new covenant. Moses made an old covenant with them, which was basically giving them a law and then them not being able to do it. And God recognized that there was a weakness here. And so he gave us a new covenant. And that covenant, verse 26 of Ezekiel 36, I'll give you a new heart and I'm going to put a new spirit in you. John Wesley said, Christianity is an inward religion. It's an inward religion. I'll remove from you your heart of stone. I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you. A Christian is somebody who has been born again. A Christian is somebody who has the Spirit of God living in them. Just think about that. I sometimes think, God, how could you put your Holy Spirit in me who is so unholy? I don't know if you've ever had that thought. The Holy Spirit, God has made a way through the cross, through the blood of Jesus, that the very Holy Spirit would dwell in you and in me. And then in Joel, he says, and afterwards, and Peter quotes this on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit is poured out, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people, not just Jews, Jew and Gentile, male and female, old and young. I will pour out my Spirit. And this is the age in which we live. When God wants to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, it really is. That's you. That's me. We're part of this. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And then we come to the New Testament and we see the Spirit working with the Son in a most beautiful way. Starts in Matthew 1:18. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Are we noticing how involved the Holy Spirit is with all this? And when his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. How amazing. The virgin birth, the incarnation of Christ, the Messiah, the Holy Spirit formed Jesus in the womb of Mary. What a Holy Spirit we have within us. And when Jesus has been baptized, it says in Luke 3, this is 30 years later, by the Spirit, he's lived a blameless life as he's preparing to be the perfect Lamb of God, the sacrifice at Calvary. But before he starts his ministry, this is what happened. When Jesus had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened. And who came down? The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. What did that look like? And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved son, with you I am well pleased. And I've got St. Patrick's little bit of shamrock there, because this is one of the few verses in the Bible that mentions all three. Jesus being baptized, the Holy Spirit coming down, and the Father speaking from heaven. And then it says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. You ever been led by the Spirit into the wilderness? He doesn't always take us to nice places, does he? He takes us to places of testing, of fire, and of growth. And Jesus went there too because he was tempted. He had to be tempted in every way, the Bible says, yet without sin. And so he was, to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Another version says he was driven by the Spirit. Another gospel describes it that way. Jesus was being led by the Spirit. He took the form of a man. He took the form of a servant. He demonstrated what it was going to be, have to be like for us to live a life of utter dependence on the Holy Spirit. You see, we are made for the Holy Spirit. We are made to live in dependence on Him. And a lot of our troubles are, and our trials is God is trying to make us more dependent on Him. So we get to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is where Jesus comes to Nazareth at the beginning of His ministry. And there's an Old Testament prophecy in Isaiah that He is fulfilling here. It says, Luke 4, 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because He has anointed me. Why? To proclaim good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was the purpose of the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus, where it's reflected in Acts, and it says Jesus went everywhere, healing all who were oppressed by the devil and doing good wherever He went. The Holy Spirit comes to do good through us. You know, I don't think any of the miracles happened randomly. They were all aimed at releasing people from some difficulty in their life, because God is love and the Holy Spirit is always looking for that opportunity to release people from darkness and problems. And so it was the same with Jesus. He was anointed to bring freedom. And then at the end of that 3.5 years of Jesus' life, He's about to die. He knows He's about to be betrayed. In fact, in this script I'm about to read, He just has been betrayed. Judas has just left the meeting. He's taken the Last Supper. He's taken the Passover with the disciples. And Jesus explains the next very important step for them. And they must have wondered what on earth was going on. But these were comforting words that they would have remembered afterwards. And He describes what the Holy Spirit was going to do in their lives. And this is for me. And this is for you. John 16, verse 7, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send Him to you. Jesus is saying, if I don't go, you're not going to get this incredible Helper. The Greek word there is parakletos. And I say that because it's translated in different ways. Sometimes it's just translated in some translations as the paraclete, because it's hard to describe, but it actually means one that comes alongside to help us. Sometimes it's translated as comforter. Sometimes it's translated as advocate, but it's essentially somebody who comes right alongside us to help. I want to just explain in a moment the ways that the Holy Spirit will help us in this age. I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. First of all, He is a convictor. John 16, verse 8, when He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin. How I need this. How blind we are. I was going to a situation the other day and thinking about what I might say. And I'd just been reading that morning and where it says in the Beatitudes, first look at the speck in your own, look at the log in your own eye before you look in the speck in your brother's eye. And I thought, okay, you're turning the tables here. and I just thought, okay, Lord, I just want you to show me. What do you want to show me about myself in this situation? I soon forgot about the other person. Because it's the Holy Spirit's job, not our job, to convict of sin. And righteousness. Some of us really need to be convicted of righteousness. You know, we are righteous in Christ. We have been given through the cross the gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to produce the fruit of righteousness. So he's given us the Holy Spirit to bear that righteous fruit in our lives. It's him on the cross and it's him in me. And the Holy Spirit wants to convict us about the truth of this. Maybe here you're one here this morning who needs to be convicted of righteousness and not just of sin. And then he's our teacher. Jesus says in John 14 in this passage, he'll teach you all things. How many people here, I'm not going to ask for a hands up, read your Bible every day? Yeah, or maybe you read your Bible some of the time. Well, he wants to teach you. He's the teacher. He will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance. How many times has that happened in our experience? He brings back a scripture. He brings back a thought. He brings back maybe something that someone shared with us. The Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance the things that he has said to us. And when he who is the very Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. So if we don't understand something about something, we can say, God, could your Holy Spirit reveal this to me? Show me this, Lord. I don't understand. I don't understand this situation. I need to know the truth. Guide me into the truth. And then maybe the greatest of all things that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is this. It's John 16, 14 and 15. He will glorify me. Because actually what we want to do over these next few weeks in talking about the Holy Spirit is we don't want to glorify the Holy Spirit because he wants to glorify Jesus. We are explaining the Holy Spirit. And in a sense, we are glorifying this glorious person in the Godhead. But his goal is always to glorify Jesus. There is such humility in the Godhead. The Father let the Son come down and be the example. Jesus left and gave us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants the attention to come back to Jesus. And in the end, it says when it's all wrapped up, Jesus is going to take the kingdom and he's going to give it back to the Father. What amazing humility there is in our God. He will glorify me. And then after this, Jesus died on the cross and somebody raised him from the dead. Romans 8, very quickly, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he'll give life to your mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit, I shared this last week when we were doing about the resurrection. He went into the tomb on the third day. Jesus, his face was marred more than any man's. His back was like a plowed field. His body was mutilated by the cross. But when he appeared to the disciples, he had been healed. The Holy Spirit healed his body in the tomb and breathed life back into that body. He raised Jesus from the dead. This Spirit that dwells in you and I. What a privilege. What an honor to have the Holy Spirit in us. So Jesus, not surprisingly, said, wait. Wait in Jerusalem. Luke 24, you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And so the Holy Spirit was sent to be clothing, that we would be clothed with power. He given this thing, this job, and this is my job. This is your job. We are witnesses of the resurrection. A witness is somebody who gives testimony to what they have seen and what they have heard. But we're not left alone in this job. Thank God. Because most of us feel pretty weak, don't we, when it comes to being a witness. The Holy Spirit, we need to pray maybe that he will help us. He will give us the power that he has promised to share the good news with others. And then this promise of the Father, as the Holy Spirit is called, he came. What day did he come? What day did he come? Pentecost. He came on the day of Pentecost. There's a significance in these feasts. So some people believe that Jesus was born on the day of tabernacles. I don't know whether that's true, but it does say he tabernacled amongst us. There's something about his birth that fitted in with those feasts of the Jews. He was crucified as the Passover lamb at the Passover time. Sometimes we forget that. We're thinking so much about Easter that we forget it's also the Jewish Passover. The two things came together. And it was not insignificant that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. It was not a mistake. God knew that there were going to be 50 days from the resurrection to when the Holy Spirit came. But he just said to them, wait in Jerusalem. They didn't know what was going to happen, but retrospectively, they look back and thought, oh, maybe there was some significance in it happening on the day of Pentecost. They were just waiting, waiting, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And then he came. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came, just imagine this happening here today. There came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them, and they were all, and I love that, they were all, I don't know how many of them were there, lots and lots of them, it wasn't just the 12, it was a load of people there, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The rest of the New Testament just explains what happened when the Holy Spirit came. Acts 1-2, it talks about what Jesus began to do and teach. He'd only begun in those 3.5 years, but he wanted to continue doing and continuing teaching. And it was through the church by the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit doing today? I've tried to summarize it here. He's glorifying Jesus by building the body of Christ in quantity and in quality. He's beautifying the bride, ready for the bridegroom. The work of the Holy Spirit is to increase the numbers. He wants people to be saved. He wants people in his body. And he wants that body to be beautiful, because one day the bride will be presented to the bridegroom. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to beautify the bride. So how does he want to help us, finally? First of all, by saving us. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. It wasn't just us, and it wasn't us and God. It was by the Spirit of our God. We've been washed. I remember day one of my salvation, the Monday morning after I became a Christian. I felt so washed. I felt so clean. And it was the Holy Spirit. Washed, sanctified. Even our justification, it's through faith in Jesus, but it's the Holy Spirit that brings it about in our lives. He wants to bring happiness. Anybody want to be happy? Yes, we all want to be happy, don't we? The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Peace is so sought out in our generation. We have so many mental health problems, but God wants, by the Holy Spirit, wants to bring peace into our lives, and he wants to bring joy in the Holy Spirit. He will help us to pray. We gather here on Tuesday nights and Monday mornings and Friday at 11 and Sunday mornings, gathering together and around in church life, wanting to pray. But the Spirit helps us, teaches us, is within us, helping us to pray. We don't know how to pray as we ought, it says, but the Spirit helps us. Interceding for us with groanings too deep for words. He puts sighs, desires, longings in our hearts. We've mentioned this power to be witnesses. Acts 5:32, we're witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit. We're not alone in this witnessing thing that God gives to those who obey him. And then is that he wants to form the character of Jesus in us. Isn't that beautiful? The fruit of the Spirit, a fruit grows slowly, doesn't it? And that fruit of the Spirit appears so that all over the community, in your home, in your office, wherever you are, there will be people who are full of love, joy, and peace. People who are patient and kind. Good people. Reliable people. Gentle people. People who have self-control. That's the one I always find hardest. I'm still praying for that one. A lot more of that last one. And then he equips the church with spiritual gifts. Very quickly, 1 Corinthians 12. For to one is given through the Spirit. I want you to just notice, you know, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible says that we should desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially that we may prophesy. And it says we should pursue love. Interestingly, but it's through the Spirit. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wants, not as we want. And all these things we're going to look into in more detail over the next few weeks. I haven't got time to them except to just outline them now. And then he pours out love. Anybody here need more love? Anybody in a tricky relationship? Anybody not in a tricky relationship? Life is strewn with it. I was talking to my son the other day. He was talking about a difficult relationship. And I said, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you will always have difficult relationships. And just when you think you got through one, there'll be another one up here. And there'll be things that you can't resolve. But God will pour, I didn't say this to him, I'm saying this to you, that God will pour his love out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We don't even have to love by ourselves. We need God's love. We need the Holy Spirit. And the final thing he gives to us, I'm sure there's loads more actually, but I want to mention today, Acts 7:55. And this is another one of those verses which mentions all three of the Trinity. And this is Stephen, this young guy that was chosen as a deacon. He was supposed to be just feeding the Greek widows. But suddenly he got filled with the Holy Spirit. It says that he was full of wisdom. He was full of grace and power. He was full of all sorts of things. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, as the stones are being thrown at him and bruising his body, it says, full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that he causes us to gaze into heaven. And to see the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That was his final filling with the Holy Spirit. He was so enraptured and captivated by who God was, he probably didn't even feel the stones landing on his body. So where am I? Where am I? And we're going to take time over this journey. And we don't want anybody to feel under any pressure. But this morning, I do want us to pray for more thirst for the Holy Spirit. We've seen that there's a continuum of a relationship with the Holy Spirit. After the resurrection, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Well, they'd already known the Holy Spirit enough to be doing miracles and stuff. But he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says, wait, because I want a further empowering. I want you to be baptized. That word baptized means to be, it's like a ship being waterlogged, so totally full up. And then after that, they got persecuted and they had a prayer meeting, a wonderful prayer meeting in Acts 4. And as they cried out to God and they say, God, give us boldness. While you stretch out your hand to do signs and wonders, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, Ephesians 4, it says that we should be being filled with the Spirit. It's a continuing thing. So we have, none of us have ever arrived at this. The Holy Spirit is a person who can be resisted. He can be grieved. He can even be blasphemed against. But he can be received as well. I said I was going to finish in the last chapter of the Bible. And so in Revelation 22, it says, let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price. Shall we just maybe stop there? Musicians, we've got a few minutes. Do you want to just take your place? Anybody know that song, Spirit of the Living God? Fall afresh on me. I thought it would be really great if we could sing that this morning. But let's just stand and just absorb some of these things really this morning. I quoted last week this quote by a guy called Andrew Murray. And he said, I have learned to place myself before God every day. As a vessel. A vessel is just a container. And if you want to put your hands up, you can do. I've learned to place myself before God every day as a vessel to be filled with his Holy Spirit. And we're going to just pray now, and then we're going to sing the words of this thing. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me. Use me. And if that's what you want to do, then let's sing that as a prayer. Let's just pray first. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you that you are beyond comprehension, that we will never get to the end of knowing who you are. Thank you that you have chosen us, that you have saved us, and you are wanting to make us more like Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that he convicts us, draws us to you, indwells us. Thank you that you have given him to us as a helper, as an equipper, as an empowerer. Father, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, more and more. Thank you for what we know, Lord, but what we want more of what you have for us, Lord. So we just say to you today, Father, would you fill us afresh with the Holy Spirit, Lord? Would you melt us this day? Would you mold us into what you want us to be? And would you use our lives, Lord? We don't want to just be filled for our own experience or to just say, I've got something special. We want to be useful and we need to be filled, Lord. So we say, precious Holy Spirit, would you fill us afresh today, Lord? We invite you afresh into our lives, to our hearts, into our minds, into our lives. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I feel like the Lord would is saying that he knows where we are. He knows each one of us. He knows our story. Maybe you've never even come to Jesus and asked him into your life. And he's just as interested in that as somebody who's been a Christian for many years wanting to be more filled with the Spirit. It's such a simple thing. When I was 17, I asked Jesus into my life and he changed everything. And the Holy Spirit came and really made an unbelievable difference. And maybe you've never done that. You've actually never said to Jesus, come into my heart. I want this to be a living thing. I don't want it to be religion. I don't want it to be an outward thing. I want this inward thing. You can say to him today, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. That's all I did. And I could not believe what happened. Such a change, a life-transforming change. It was the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus in my heart. I just said, Lord, come into my heart. Take away my sins. Come into my heart. And he did. There may be others here who are new to even the thought of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, and things like tongues and prophecy and healing are completely alien to their thinking. God knows where we are, and he wants to gently lead us as a shepherd. He wants to give us all sorts of things.
Jesus, I feel God's just shown me, God's given me a word of knowledge that there's somebody here this morning and God's given you a gift. God's given you a gift and it's hidden in your heart, and it's something God's shown you. You've never before had the courage to tell anybody else about it. It's a gift God's given you and you feel it's very special and precious. And just as Nick's been sharing this morning, it's come back to you that God's given you, God's shown you, you've got a gift from God to use, to bless others, to be able to use for God. And I feel God this morning is just put it on your heart to want to start to use that gift. And so I just feel God's saying this morning to have the courage just to share it with another person and to pray and to bring it out. It's like something very precious in your heart. And you almost feel it's so precious you don't want to be embarrassed about it, but just to bring that precious thing that you feel God's given you, that precious gift, and bring it out into the open and allow God to give you the courage to start to use that gift to bless others and to be a real blessing, that the Holy Spirit would work through that gift and you'd be encouraged as you see other people blessed through your life.
I saw a picture of a pen, somebody writing with a pen, but it wasn't like a normal pen. It was like, I don't know, it was like a wooden pen. Sounds a bit odd. Anyway, they were writing, and the effect of their writing, because it was through the Holy Spirit, was piercing other people's hearts. It was like really effective. And I don't know if someone here has to write a letter to someone or write something, or if it's writing as a general gift, but it was very powerful because it involved the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Michelle. Do sit down. We're going to have coffee in a moment. But it's really good to respond when God is saying something. So if Paul had the thing about somebody who God's reminded them this morning that they have a gift. And why don't you talk to Paul? He could pray with you. And Michelle also, you know, that there's a letter to be written or maybe a gift of writing. I don't know. But you know, if that was for you, you will know in your heart that that was you. So do talk to them afterwards. We're going to have time for coffee now. Just to say, really, as a church, we're at the beginning of a journey to find out more and to be equipped more by the Holy Spirit. So do pray for the church. Don't join this journey, that God will help us on this journey. And also, we could do worse than read the book of Acts together. I was thinking that maybe even aim to just read like a chapter a week or something. But let's, as a church, who'd like to do something together? Yeah. Why don't we just do that over this season and read the book of Acts together and read it with open eyes like you never read it before. So thanks again. And do find somebody if you want to pray with you or talk to you. We've got some time to do that now. Thank you.